Hi, honorable listeners. Bill Resnick here for the Old Mole. I've been reading about how Big Pharma, led by Pfizer, Moderna, assisted by near all of U.S. big business, how they are successfully preventing other manufacturers from employing Big Pharma's patented processes to produce COVID vaccine for the rest of the world. As a result, about 80% of eligible humans on this planet have not been vaccinated. Now, why is Big Pharma refusing to waive their patents? Of course, for the huge profits. Because the federal government paid all the research and development costs and gave them the patents. With mass production, the cost to make the vaccine is less than a dollar. But with people desperate to be vaccinated with their patent monopoly, Big Pharma charges $14.70 to some governments and $23.50 to others. This, of course, is causing hundreds of thousands, even millions of deaths from people who were not vaccinated who could have been, particularly in poor nations. But here in the U.S. North America and U.S. North America, too. But as they say, we have a duty to our stockholders, bondholders, top executives. At first, early last year, a year and a half ago, Biden announced that the U.S. would support the lifting of the patents. Biden then brought that back soon after when Big Pharma mounted a huge offensive. Lots of people have blood on their hands, and their justifications are hogwash to be discussed next. So Big Pharma tax waivers, the waivers of the patents, contending that sharing vaccine technology will, I quote, stifle innovation. Yet it has been massive public spending to the tune of billions of dollars by the governments of the U.S., Europe, Japan, South Korea, and others that fueled the production of COVID-19 vaccine. Similarly, the new mRNA technology on which Pfizer and Moderna based their vaccines was produced through billions of dollars in public investment. In fact, the majority of drug manufacturer expenditures, it's going toward marketing, not innovation, and also, of course, executive pay. For example, Pfizer spent nearly twice as much on marketing and sales as it did on research and development in 2019. Perhaps the most insulting of all arguments against waivers is the idea that generic vaccines produced in the factories of developing nations, they would have could erode public trust in vaccines because of the possibility of counterfeit products or a lowering of quality standards. In fact, it goes against their record, where many of these manufacturers have been producing generics for years, which are as good as, if not better, than the original brands. In 2019, the Serum Institute of India was cited as the world's largest producer of affordable vaccines, combating diseases like measles, rubella, diphtheria, tetanus, H1N1, polio, and more. It suggests that non-Western vaccine manufacturers would screw up the process of producing COVID-19 vaccines. That borders on racism. Furthermore, there have been instances of Western drug makers making mistakes in managing COVID-19 vaccines. Big Pharma also argues that a broad waiver on rights to produce vaccines doesn't address the underlying problem of inadequate manufacturing capacity. According to this argument, even if producers in low-income countries had the legal authority to start churning out COVID vaccines, they wouldn't be able to because they lack the factories or technological know-how. This, too, is bogus. When U.S. and European vaccine makers have agreed to partners with foreign producers like the Serum Institute of India, which is the world's largest vaccine producer, incidentally, and Aspen Pharmacare in South Africa, these organizations had no trouble with manufacturing problems. There are many more firms and organizations around the world with the same potential to help boost the vaccine supply. Finally, when all the other claims fall through, the industry's last resort is to argue that a waiver would help China and Russia gain access to U.S. technology. But the cat is out of the bag. China has partnered with European firms already to produce the latest effective vaccines. For those focused on geopolitical issues, the bigger source of concern should be America's failure to date to engage in constructive COVID-19 diplomacy. The U.S. has so far upheld the patents and has been blocking exports of vaccines that it's not even using. Meanwhile, Russia and China have not only made their vaccines available, they have engaged in significant technology and knowledge transfer, forging partnerships around the world. With daily infections continuing to reach new highs in some parts of the world, the chance of dangerous new variants emerging poses a growing risk to us all, as I'll discuss soon. The world will remember which countries helped and which countries threw up hurdles during the critical moment. I conclude, the predation by Big Pharma is killing millions. It also creates the greatest of risks of the death of billions. Because viruses mutate, and humanity has so far been lucky, because all the recently surfacing viruses, Marburg in 1967, Ebola in 1976, Hendra in 1994, H5N1 bird flu, that's 1997, Nipah 98, SARS 2002, H1N1 2009, MERS 2012, H7N9 bird flu 2013, and 209-man and COVID, that's 220. These have been relatively easy to deal with. But what if the next one has the following qualities? It's highly contagious and long-lasting in the air. It's highly lethal. And the carriers have no idea that they are afflicted until suffering symptoms unto death. Then in a world of patent protection, of limiting vaccine and medicine producers, in that world, viral outbreaks like COVID can spread to many millions and billions of people, each of them a site for mutations of something more dangerous, which, of course, greatly raises the risk of that doomsday virus. This is not some theoretical threat. No one is safer until all of us are safer. COVID-19 and all the vaccines and treatments have been developed by scientists from all over the world, thanks to basic science supported by numerous governments. It is only proper that the people of the world should reap the benefits. This is a matter of morality and also self-interest. We must not let drug companies put profits ahead of lives. We, including us in Portland, are at minimum obligated to, as fellow humans, to get our organizations into coalitions that fight for those waivers. In developing this commentary, I learned a lot from Sonali Kolhatkar, Lori Wallach, Joseph Stiglitz, and Walden Bellow.